Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
It's 8:50 and time for our first look at the commodity markets for the week. And with our pre-opening report, here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Monday morning, everyone. Cash hog prices today are expected to be steady to 50 cents per hundredweight higher amid active field work and a need for packers to keep hogs coming to market. Terminals are called steady to 50 cents higher, with top prices from $40 to $44 today. Peoria called steady with a top price of $40. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Friday, September 29th, voluntarily reported negotiated swine purchases were $12,044. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $53.75 to $63.50. The weighted average was $59.63. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $42.81 to $51, and the weighted average was $47.52. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were $8,460. The base price range was $54.50 to $63.18. The weighted average, $61.31. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $43.45 to $48.70, and the weighted average was $45.90.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Joining us with a look at today's agricultural weather is meteorologist Scott Olthoff. And Scott, I imagine over the weekend, the combines and we're rolling, and I'm sure over the next few days they may continue to do so.
That's right, Dave. That's the good news, especially as we're going to have some heat in the vicinity of the two-state region, forecasting high temperatures in the middle to upper 80s across most of Illinois and Indiana. The only exceptions across northern Indiana, where some heavy showers and thunderstorms are moving into the picture this morning. They'll be going through that area next few hours, and then they'll begin drying out. But across northern areas, next couple of days, we'll have a continued chance of showers and thunderstorms. That may limit some field work up there. But across a good portion of Illinois, Indiana, we'll have some good harvest weather during the next week to 10 days at least. Rain was limited during the weekend, but areas from northern Minnesota through northern and central Wisconsin to Michigan, Ohio, and Kentucky reported rain at one time or another, with amounts varying from a few hundredths of an inch to up to three-quarters of an inch. Michigan, northeast Indiana, and central Ohio were wettest, with numerous reports over a half inch. Two storm systems of fair size will impact the U.S. Midwest corn and soybean belt over the coming week. The first event expected Monday night into Wednesday, at which time rainfall should be mostly light except for eastern South Dakota and northeastern Nebraska to Wisconsin, where a few more moderate amounts are possible. The second storm system, October 7th to the 10th, will be largest, with 80 to 100% coverage and rainfall varying from 2/10 to an 8/10 of an inch. And several locations will receive over an inch of rain at that time. Less rain will occur in the balance of next week. Some precipitation will fall during the coming 2 weeks besides the above two larger events, but field work should advance relatively well during the drier periods, and some field work delay is expected, but no grain or oilseed quality issues are anticipated. The good news is that temperatures will be unseasonably hot, warm to hot over the next couple of days, with highs in the 80s to lower 90s in the western Corn Belt and the 70s and 80s to the east. Tuesday will be nearly as warm, with a brief shot of cooler air on Wednesday and Thursday before warming resumes once again. And the warming will help increase drying rates, so any rain that does fall should evaporate rather quickly. In the U.S. Delta Southeast, not much rain fell during the weekend, but showers were noted in eastern Alabama and northern Georgia, along with a few Virginia locations. Showers noted Sunday afternoon in Mississippi and Alabama, and rain totals were from a few hundredths of an inch to a half inch. The Delta was mostly, as was the remainder of southeastern states, dry. Highest temperature limited to the 60s and 70s in southeastern states and 80s in the Delta. Lowest readings were in the upper 40s and 50s in Virginia, the Carolinas, Georgia, and Alabama, and the 50s in the Delta. Not much rain is predicted for the next couple of weeks. Totally dry weather is not anticipated, but the amount of rain will be limited enough that crop maturation and harvest progress should advance well. There's only one significant rain event on the charts for today, although there were a number of much weaker disturbances. The larger events occurs about the October 9th to the 12th time period, and it may not produce enough rain to delay field work by more than a day or two at most. A warming trend will affect the Delta and Southeast states early this week, with high temperatures reaching the 80s to lower and middle 90s Monday through Thursday. Cooling occur late in the week and early in the weekend, with highs in the upper 60s and 70s. In Argentina, rain will fall across much of Argentina this week. A few showers and thunderstorms will begin Monday, but Tuesday and Wednesday will be the wetter days. Rainfall in southwestern portions of the nation will likely be lightest, with less than a half inch resulting, and amounts elsewhere will range from a half inch to 1.5 inches, and local amounts of 2 to 3 inches. Crop areas will benefit from the rain this week, and sunseed and corn planting will resume, and winter wheat development will become more aggressive. Follow-up moisture will be very important, especially in the southwest, where rain amounts will be lightest. That's your growing areas weather. I'm meteorologist Scott Olthoff.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In the Sunday overnight trading session, Kansas City December wheat opened at 496 and a quarter, up a quarter. Last trade up 8. March, 504, up 1 3/4. Last trade up 11 and a quarter. At the Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 445, up 2. Last trade up 9. March, 459 and a quarter, up 1 1/4. Last trade up 6.5. May, 469.5, up 9.5. Last trade up 8. July, 461.5, up 1.5. Last trade up 7. December corn opened at 263.25, up 3/4. Last trade up 6 3/4. March, 276.25, up 1. Last trade up 6.5. May, 282.25, down 0.5. Last trade up 4 3/4. Take it out to the red line. December, 303, up 0.5. Last trade up 4.5. November beans opened at 547.25, down 1/4. Last trade up 5.5. January, 562, down 1/4. Last trade up 4.25. March, 573, unchanged. Last trade up 6 3/4. October soybean meal opened at 162.30, up 40. Last trade up 160. December soybean oil opened at 24.24, unchanged. Last trade up 19. Joining us now on the phone to talk about the markets is Brian Maple of FC Stone and Company in Indianapolis, Indiana. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Dave.
And the wheat beat goes on the overnights.
It certainly does. There's some thought that maybe Friday's action was just some profit-taking for month-end, quarter-end that's being discussed out here. Over the weekend, we saw extremely fiery markets over in Europe. France, for instance, is at record levels on wheat values. And, you know, you're really being driven by this wheat market for the corn and beans along the way. Also, you've got a lack of quality, let's say high-quality wheat in the marketplace today, especially the hard red variety. Certainly in the soft red, we've got ample amounts of soft red available over here. We can barely give the stuff away, which makes it kind of an interesting paradigm when you've got the Kansas City market running on fire, and you've got ample amounts of soft red, and we've narrowed in the spreads, taking the carry out of the market. It just feels like at some point in time, wheat's going to find a way to try and get rid of some of the soft red, but so far the demand doesn't seem to be there. But it doesn't matter. As you and I talked earlier, Dave, I think the bull story just continues to feed off of itself out here in the wheat, and if it can stay strong, you're going to see more buying come back into the corn market. Corn, I don't see a lot driving it, and as you guys commented on your commodity week, I think we're going to see farmers a little bit more apt to sell excess bushels at harvest time, and we'll see heavier spots than what we probably were going to see earlier on. That's going to have a tendency to slow down the corn movement. Corn is took out last week and trading above this morning above some monthly chart resistance points at that 63.5 level. If we can maintain that, technically you turn that that corn market into a fairly bullish situation also. And we're all bullish long term. So I think you got to go with the overnight and see how the overnight traded, and you're probably going to be 4 to 5, 5 to 6 better as we get started and see who's out there to buy it. Are the funds there to come in and establish more long positions?
So you wouldn't want to sell a rally in either corn or wheat at this point?
On wheat, I know I wouldn't touch selling the rally in the wheat at this point. We're at the highest levels we've been since 1997, but you also got to keep in mind that year the nearby chart, at least on the month, the weekly chart, went to 717. So you got a lot of upside that could play into it. And we're talking, I think, the tightest world stocks to use ratios that we've seen in 30 years. So we're extremely tight. I don't see much rain in the forecast for Australia. Argentina, I think, does get a nice drink this week, but they can't do it on their own.
20 seconds on beans, please.
On beanies, I think the beans continue to be range-bound, and they're drug along by the corn and the wheat markets, and they're kicking and screaming the whole way. We're looking at big numbers. You saw the FC Stone numbers last week at 44.2 yields, and we're hearing big wheat yields across the belt. Can the beans work independently of what the corn and the wheat market's doing? I think they can long-term because it's just going to be so heavy to deal with a 600 million bushel carryout, Dave.
Thank you much, Brian. Brian Maple of FC Stone and Company in Indianapolis, Indiana. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. It's 9:01 Central Time.